Now, I know for most of us, harvest is something a little bit distant. It's something we may see happening on the farms, but we aren't really involved in it, most of us, ourselves. Yet it is still really good to have an annual service where we specifically give thanks to God for the lovely food that we eat, for those who produce and supply it, as we think about those who don't have enough food, and for all the many other ways in our own lives that God provides for our daily needs. We are hugely blessed in this country with an amazing array of wonderful food. And I, for one, I really enjoy it. I love the incredible range of foods, the flavours and the textures and the smells. They are a great gift from God. But there are moments, as I stand dazed and confused in the aisles of supermarkets, when I would like things to be a little bit simpler. You see, I get so confused by the amount of choice there is. If there was just one type of lasagna, it would be in the trolley, job done, and onto the next aisle. But instead, there I am, stood for 10 minutes, or sometimes more, in front of the kind of multitude of lasagnas that there are on offer, reading the different packets, wondering which one I should buy. Should I save money and go for the cheapest? Or will that be less nutritious, full of salt and fat? Should I go for the one with free-range eggs or animal welfare beef? After all, I want to care for all of God's creatures. But does it really mean that the animals in all the other that made all the other lasagnas were mistreated? Or is it just a way of pricking my conscience and making me pay more? Should I be worried about the chemicals they put on crops? Are they poisoning my children? Maybe I should go for the organic one, but my word, look at the price. Should I go for the one made of British produce to support British farmers? Should I go for the one in the foil tray so I can recycle it because the plastic tray will end up in landfill? And anyway, which one tastes best? I stand there, gradually freezing to death among the fridges, thoroughly confused by the question of which lasagna, reaching the point where I no longer know which one to buy or what I think or whether I even care anymore. And that's just Monday night's tea. I mean, it's hardly one of life's big questions, is it? It's just a lasagna. And yet I am already quite confused. So it is not a surprise that when it does come to the big questions of life, questions about relationships or morality, about direction or death, about happiness or good and evil, about whether there is a God, and if so, what does he think of me? When it comes to big questions like them, the lasagna confusion pales into insignificance as my brain begins to fry and go into meltdown, as I'm bombarded by a bewildering array of answers and questions and options, ways to go, people to follow, things to think and things to do, most of them heading in all sorts of different directions, many of them contradicting each other, and it can seem like our only options are to just get on with life and not think too much, or be left utterly confused as we hope for some clarity and direction, as we look for true answers among the mess. Which is why for me and for many of us here, it is such good news that Jesus came. As we heard in Matthew 9, verse 35, Jesus came preaching and teaching the good news of the kingdom. Jesus came to tell us the good news that there is a God, and he is alive and reigning. The good news that there is a direction and purpose to life. The good news that God is gathering together and creating a true people of God, a people who are forgiven of their sins and welcomed into his kingdom, a people who have clear guidance in life as they follow Jesus' good ways, a people who have a future beyond death in God's completed kingdom. It is truly good news, truly good news, that God came in person. He stepped into a world full of confusion and spoke the true truth, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the truly good news of the kingdom, and proving himself to be who he said he was by performing miracles, miracles of healing every disease and sickness, as it says there. Miracles that also give us a glimpse of what his fully completed kingdom will look like when it comes. A kingdom without disease and sickness and death. Jesus brought real answers into a confused world, to people who were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Confused, stressed, oppressed people. Bewildered, stuck in a rut, not knowing which way to go, people. Without true direction, people. Without real answers to the big questions of life, people. And Jesus looked out at the crowds of people, and he saw them harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And I suspect as he looks out on our world today, the view is not so different. Today's crowds may be wearing different clothes, using different technology, but I still think they are harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Whilst most of the time we are so distracted by the overwhelming choice of lasagna and all the other stuff, so distracted we don't have time to think about much else. When we do stop to ponder the bigger questions of life, most of us are left confused. And we struggle to come up with any real answers, hope or confidence or direction, like sheep without a shepherd. I know that's how I felt before I met Jesus, and I doubt if I'm the only one. And so I suspect as Jesus looks on our time, like he did back then, he looks out at these swathes of people, he has compassion on them. His heart goes out to them. He looks out and sees great harvest fields of people, like field after field of grain, waiting to be brought into the kingdom, like grain gathered into a barn. Fields of people in need of Jesus' truly good news. Because Jesus knows that the best thing anybody could ever do is hear and accept the good news of the kingdom. Receive God's forgiveness. Receive God's guidance. Receive God's hope and security in their lives. And like it was then, so it is today. The world is still full of people looking for answers. And Jesus is still preaching the only true truth. But the question is then, then as now, who is going to gather them in? That's the question. Who is going to tell and lead these people to Jesus? Who is going to reach these fields of unreached people? Because as Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. There are many who need to be told and brought into the kingdom, but there are few people to do it. In fact, at this point in Matthew's Gospel, to say the workers are few is a bit of an understatement. So far, there's really just been two workers. There's been Jesus and John the Baptist. The workers at this point are very few indeed. And the crowds, well, they go on and on, like grain fields disappearing over the horizon. So who is going to tell these unreached people about the kingdom? Who is going to tell them the truly good news? What is to be done? Well, Jesus gives his disciples part of the answer in verse 38. He says to them, "Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." What is to be done? Well, it's interesting. What's interesting is that it doesn't start with getting up and going. It starts with getting down on their knees and praying. Being sent out will come later. We'll get to that at the end of the sermon. But like so much of the Christian life, things start with prayer. Because this is all God's work. It is his harvest. He is the Lord of the harvest, and the workers are to be God's workers. I hope that as we look out on our village and our region and our nation, that we too look out with compassion on all the unreached people who do not know the forgiveness and joy and hope and direction and security that has been so generously given to us in Jesus. I hope we long for others to be gathered into God's kingdom. But like me, you probably look out at the harvest fields of unreached people and think, it's just too much. I can see the need, but there's just so many people out there. And there's so few of us here. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. It's still true today. So what should we do? Where should we start? Well, I think we also need to start where Jesus told his first disciples to start. We need to ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. If we are serious about gathering in the potential harvest in this village, in this region, and in this nation, gathering people into God's kingdom, then we need to get serious about praying for it. We need to get serious about praying for workers to go out and tell people the good news of Jesus. Praying for openings and opportunities for good Jesus conversations with people. Praying for receptive hearts among those who hear about Jesus. We need to get praying for Christians to be sharing their faith with others. And I don't think this is just about praying for missionaries and preachers, though it should include that. But I don't think it's just about that. I don't think Jesus is talking here about full-time paid Christian workers. At harvest time, everyone joined in. The whole family got involved. I think the workers are simply any Christian who shares the good news of Jesus with others. So let's get praying, because there will be no true harvest without beginning in prayer. What's encouraging is I think that in so many ways we already understand this as a church. It has been such an encouragement over the last few months to see the monthly church prayer meeting grow and grow. And I can only assume that is because you know that the growth of God's kingdom has to be grounded in prayer. And so I look forward to seeing you at the prayer meeting again this week on Tuesday night, as we pray for God's kingdom to grow here in Kilnest. And if you've never been to the prayer meeting before, why not come along for the first time this week, Tuesday night at 7:30. It would be great to have you there. Because if we are serious about gathering the unreached harvest in this village and in this region and in this nation, then we need to get serious about praying for it. But I want you to go further. I've been challenged by this, and I don't think I am anywhere near diligent enough in praying for workers to be sent into the harvest field. And maybe you're not either. Whether that's at a regional or national level, such as sending workers into the worlds of media and politics, maybe, or whether it's just here in Kilnest, praying that God would send workers to share the good news of Jesus in some of the unreached streets or parts of our estates, in the workplaces, clubs, pubs, or care homes. Are we praying regularly about these groups of people, asking God to send out workers into the unreached parts of our community? Well, I hope you are. But let me challenge you anyway. I want you each to pick an unreached part of our community, or maybe something in wider society. Maybe a group of people you have real compassion for, people you long to see come to Jesus, Maybe they're young people or older people. Maybe they're just the people on your street. But I want you to pray every day this week for them. Every day. Pray that God would send people to speak the good news to them and that they would be receptive. This little flyer that you should have all got in your service sheet, well, that's a little reminder to help you do that. A reminder to get you praying. You can use it as a bookmark, stick it on the fridge, pin it next to the mirror where you do your shaving or whatever. It's there to remind you to get praying. And don't feel as though you have to stop after a week either. You can keep going. Because as the Bible says, Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So let's start praying to God to send out workers into his harvest field. But as I said earlier, that is only part of the answer to the question of what is to be done. When we see these fields of unreached people in need of Jesus' truly good news. Because the other part of the answer is what we've been looking at over the last few weeks. As many of you will know, and as Jenny pointed out with her poster, this sermon is the final sermon in our series based on Jesus' Great Commission. Over the last few weeks, we've been thinking about Jesus' command to his disciples, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And today we are concluding with Jesus' words, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And it's because of that, it's because that Jesus is with us to the end of the age, that our praying can be so effective. That's why we can pray with such confidence. Because Jesus is still active and with us. Active in growing and building his kingdom. And he will remain with his followers until the task is completed at the very end of the age. But this Great Commission passage also tells us that whilst the harvest work begins with prayer and continues in prayer, as we've been thinking about for the last few weeks, it also involves us going out as harvest workers. Those disciples who started praying back in chapter 9 are now the ones who are sent out in chapter 28 to tell people and make disciples. They prayed for harvest workers, and now they find themselves to be the harvest workers, sent out to tell unreached people the good news and to gather them into Jesus' glorious kingdom. So be warned and excited. Because as you pray for unreached groups of people to hear the good news of Jesus' kingdom, it may end up being you he sends to reach them. Most of us are not involved in harvesting food, but if you are a follower of Jesus, there is a much more important harvest to be involved in. As you compassionately look out on the world and see the harassed and helpless, those like sheep without a shepherd, as you see the potential harvest in this village and in this region and in this nation, get praying. Pray that God would send out Christians to speak and display Jesus' kingdom to all these unreached people. Pray they would receive the good news with joy. And don't be surprised when you find yourself out working in God's harvest field. Why don't you take a moment to think and pray about what group of unreached people you are going to pray for this week? And don't forget to use your little flyer as a helpful reminder to get praying so that the whole of this village and this region and this nation comes to hear the good news of Jesus. Amen.